Not too long ago, when I was home visiting my family, so not this most recent time, I just came back from vacation. My parents came up here, so this is not like last week, but a year ago. A year ago, I was visiting my family, and we decided to play Scrabble. And my brother, he's just about a couple years younger than me, my brother, he won the game that night. And as we put the board and the tiles away, I made a comment. "Next time," I said, "no phones or computers, no devices at the table while we play." Well, that apparently was a big mistake. I should not have said that. What I had meant was that when we play, we should be available to each other rather than distracted by devices. But what my brother heard, was, "You won, so you must have been cheating. Next time, no computers, no opportunity to cheat." That night ended with my brother pointing at me and yelling, "Congratulations, congratulations on your little being a priest thing. Mr. Holier Than Thou, Mr. Self-Righteous. If you ever wonder what's wrong with the church, well, let me clue you in. It's people like you that push people away from the church." Now keep in mind, we're in our 40s. This is not like little kids. We're still fighting over Scrabble well into our 40s. Now usually Scrabble with the family doesn't end this way. My brother's comments were all in response to that misunderstanding, a comment I made that was taken the wrong way. And we reconciled and made up a few hours later after he had calmed down. And I think he understood the misunderstanding, at least I hope he did. But his comments certainly gave me pause. His comments, they revealed a few things. They revealed a few things about him, but also about me. I know I've made many mistakes over the years in our relationship. I've never preached at him. I've never forced religion on him, never guilted him about not going to church or anything like that. I've also certainly never claimed to be perfect. But I've also, apparently, not been a very good example to him. Apparently for him, I've been more of a hindrance to Christ, not so much a bridge to Christ. In prayer that evening, I had to acknowledge the many ways that I can do better in a relationship with him, ways I need to be a better icon of Christ, a better bridge to Christ, a better sign of God's presence in our world. One of my favorite quotes from St. Paul, from his letter to the Colossians, says that Jesus is the icon, the image of the unseen God, the Father. And in today's gospel, Jesus proclaims, "Whoever believes in me believes not only in me, but also in the one who sent me. And whoever sees me sees the one who sent me." This is what we call the idea of Jesus as the sacrament of God, the visible, palpable sign of our Father who we do not see. Do you know where this word sacrament comes from? When the church was beginning, a lot of the language that we now use to talk about God, our relationship with him, our faith in him, a lot of that language came from common everyday concepts that people at the time knew and understood. And the word sacrament is one of those words. The word sacrament comes from the Latin word sacramentum. We're really original in English, right? Just take the word and drop a couple letters at the end. Same word. So sacrament comes from the Latin word sacramentum. And sacramentum was an oath. It's a pledge of allegiance that Roman soldiers professed to Rome and to the Roman Empire, to the Roman emperor as well. That oath, that pledge of allegiance to the emperor, that sacramentum, it was represented by an emblem worn by the soldiers. And when soldiers wore that emblem, they were saying, "I belong to him. I will do anything for him." And when people saw that emblem, that sacramentum worn by the soldiers, they understood that this soldier, in a very real sense, represents the emperor. To see the soldier was to see, to encounter the one who sent the soldier. This is what Jesus means when he says, to see me is to see the one who sent me. He is the sacrament of God, the visible, palpable sign of God the Father. And the early church, using that concept of sacramentum, said, these things that we do, these things God does in us and in our lives, these are our sacramentums, our sacraments, our badge, our emblem, the things that say that we belong to Jesus Christ, that we're his, we're of his company. When we use the word sacrament, when we call baptism a sacrament, confirmation a sacrament, we're saying that these are the things that in a very real way God uses to identify us as belonging to him. These sacraments, they are the things that are a part of our faith that are used to point towards God. Everything about our faith points to the Father, to God. The church itself, with all of its ritual, customs, and activities, is also sometimes referred to as one great sacrament, a sign which exists in the world to point to and bring others to God. The Pope, bishops, priests, the sacraments, laws, and practices of our faith, they're all meant to be pointers, aids to our union with God. In fact, one of the titles given to the Pope is Pontifex Maximus, or Pontiff, which means bridge builder. So everything in our religious practice, including ourselves, it's all meant to be a bridge to God, not a wall, not a dead end, not, above all, an obstacle or barrier. As members of the church, if we do not point beyond to the Father, we can be obstacles or barriers for others. So, are we bridges? Are we a bridge from Jesus Christ to others? Are we a bridge to Christ or a barrier? Baptism calls us to be a bridge. Sin makes us a barrier. Long after our accomplishments are forgotten in this life, the answer to that question, bridge or barrier, will be the most important truth about our life. So the question put before us today, how do we use the church and its rites, the deposit of faith that we've been given, how are we using the gifts of faith we practice to point others towards God? Who is it that we image? What kind of bridges are we? How do we ourselves function as signs of the presence of Jesus Christ in the world? May Jesus be praised, now and forever.